You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 5th of April, 2023, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we're going to have a look at a review into the Metropolitan Police, and we're particularly going to have a look at the racial aspects of it. I should imagine the LGBTQ parts would also interest us, but we'll leave them for today. And we'll begin with what Noah Carl has to say about it. I believe it's either a Dr. Noah Carl or a Professor Noah Carl. He is an academic who has suffered from cancel culture, basically, at the university that he was at. He says, the 21st of March marked the publication of a major review into the standards of behaviour and internal culture of the Metropolitan Police Service, and that is the police in London. The author, Baroness Casey, concludes that there is institutional racism in the Met, one example of which is that black Londoners are over-policed. And of course, this is often the conclusion that these investigators come to, that it must be institutional racism because there are differences in the outcomes between people groups. And of course, as nationalists, we would say, well, those differences are caused by the people groups themselves being different to one another, rather than it being down to discrimination. For instance, when you get a high number of black people that end up in prison for violent crimes, we would say, well, that is the same as when you get a high number of men that are in prison for violent crimes. It is because that particular group has a higher crime rate. It is not that all the judges are racist and all the police are racist. It's just that different people groups, different races, different ethnicities, whichever term you prefer to use, they often have different crime rates. And of course, that's an average of the group, basically. It's not to say that every individual is involved in crime, or if you were to look at something else like academic achievement, it's not like every individual is going to have the highest or the lowest academic achievement. What we're talking about here is averages. As evidence, Baroness Casey cites data showing that black Londoners are much more likely to be subjected to the use of force by the police. They comprise around 41% of those subjected to the use of force, despite making up only 14% of London's population aged 11 to 61. So they look at that and they say, well, it should just be 14% of these statistics of the use of force. Black people should only account for 14% because they only make up 14% of London. But as we're seeing here, it's 41%. And our opponents would say that is evidence of racism. And of course, we would say, no, that is not evidence of racism. That is evidence of more criminality among that group. And obviously, people might then say, well, you're targeting this group here. You're saying that they are more likely to commit crime, but it also means they're more likely to be the victims of crime also. So as much as it might make you prejudiced against the group, it is also going to make you just as much as you are prejudiced. It's also going to make you just that much sympathetic to the group because they're also the main victims of crime. Is this evidence of over-policing? The report also includes a section on sexism in the Met, which makes no mention of the fact that men comprise 87% of those subjected to the use of force by police, despite being only half the population. So why no mention? So clearly we have some double standards here. because they are pointing out that men are subjected to this use of force, and they're not saying that the Metropolitan Police is anti-men. They're not saying they are misandrists. They're just accepting the fact that men are more likely to resist arrest, I should imagine. Well, men commit much more violent crime than women, so they are much more likely to end up in a situation where the police use force against them. And nobody would seriously claim that men are over-policed because they are disproportionately represented among those subjected to the use of force. Casey actually acknowledges that, quote, the entire London population will not be the most accurate baseline to ascertain disproportionality, close quote, since children and old people are very unlikely to be subjected to the use of force. So she's also including them in this figure. So if you were to just include younger people, then you would probably find that the percentage of black folks that are subjected to the use of force would be even higher. Yet she fails to take her argument to its logical conclusion, which is that all groups, not just age groups, get policed in proportion to the amount of crime they commit. And that's effectively what they're saying. They're saying, well, this can't be in proportion to the amount of crime they commit. It must be down to racism. Whereas I think most people can see that the police are extremely anti-racist. The court system is extremely anti-racist. They take great care not to discriminate. And yet we still have these disproportionate figures, which I would suggest is proof that there are differences between groups, that our eyes do not deceive us, that there are measurable differences in statistics between different people groups. As Joseph Cesario and colleagues note in a 2018 paper, insofar as blacks and whites have different police exposure rates, a more correct benchmark to calculate racial disparity is not population proportions, but instead rates of police exposure. And these can be reasonably approximated by rates of criminal involvement. So how would you go about that? I mean, he's saying you don't want to be comparing it to the percentage of the population, but to the amount of exposure they have to the police, and then whether it becomes violent or not. So Noah Carl says, how do London's ethnic groups compare on rates of criminal involvement? Thanks to two Freedom of Information requests, we know that in the years 2015 to 2019 and 2021, 56% of those who were proceeded against for murder offences in London were black. And I think that's a similar similar statistics, basically, to the ones that we find in America. This figure represents people whom the authorities felt they had a strong enough case against to pursue legal action, so it is unlikely to simply reflect bias in who gets arrested. Indeed, Casey criticises the Met for having used the custody population as a benchmark in their own analysis, because this assumes no disproportionality or bias exists in any and all encounters the Met have with the public. So you can't just go on arrests, you have to go on the people who are charged. Incidentally, the ratio of percentage black among murder offenders to percentage black in the population is the same in London as it is in England and Wales as a whole. According to the latest data from the Office for National Statistics, blacks make up 4% of the population, but 16% of convicted principal suspects in the crime of homicide. And 16-4 in England and Wales is the same as 56-14 in London. And 56-14 is the exact same ratio that we find in America with blacks that are incarcerated for murder. 56% of all the murders and the violent crime, yet only 14% of the population, which is the equivalent here to in England and Wales, 16% of all the homicides, charges of homicide, and yet only 4% of the population. So you have a people group there that have a higher likelihood of violent crime than other people groups. I mean, if he doesn't mention it here, but if you measure the Chinese and you measure the statistics that we have for violent crime with the Chinese, you'll find that they're much lower than their percentage of the population. And if you measure the white statistics, I think they're slightly lower than their percentage of the population. And clearly, we would say as nationalists, you know, the best way to deal with this is to have homogenous populations. So you would have a population made up of black people that would all have the same average crime rate. The group would have the same average crime rate, and they would be better placed in knowing how to deal with this. They would be better placed in knowing what sort of person it was that was likely to be carrying out these crimes, and they would be better placed in order to defend themselves from these crimes. Because the other problem you have when you have multiculturalism, it means that there are more potential victims, because it's always going to be more difficult to carry out a crime against a member of your own extended family than it is to carry out a crime against a member of another extended family that you are not related to. I mean, you could even base this down to the individual and say it was always going to be easier for somebody to harm somebody else rather than harming themselves. So the very fact we have multiculturalism itself means that there are more potential victims. But besides the fact that we have these different crime rates that we have, different average crime rates that we have with these different groups. And you can say, well, what are the reasons for this? Well, you can look at the other measurements, can't you? I mean, some people will say, well, the reason for this is because there's more poverty that's involved in the black people group. But then if you look at the white people group that also have poverty, and you look in the areas that have poverty, you'll see that they don't have any higher crime rate than the normal average. You could say that it may be related to IQ. And we do find that people that have a lower IQ are more likely to be prone to crime. But we can't say that it's any of these things in particular. I mean, we can look at them and say, well, that might have a bearing upon it. But I think what it really shows is that these people groups are different to one another. It's not to say they're not all human beings. We are all human beings. But human beings are made up of different subgroups of human beings, and these different subgroups have different statistics when you measure them. And these different statistics, they correlate with the visual identification and self-identification of the group. So what I'm saying there is, if somebody self-identifies as black, it's people that self-identify as black and people that also look black that conform with these statistics, and the same for people that look white. And you can look at DNA as well, and you can see that the DNA itself conforms with the visual identification and the self-identification that we have. So there is differences between these groups. Now, I believe it's the differences that are responsible for these different statistics, not racism. And of course, this report is saying that it's down to racism, and Noah Kahle is pointing out here that it can't be. He says, recall that 41% of those subjected to the use of force by the Met are black. This means that black people are actually underrepresented among those subjected to the use of force relative to their murder rate. Because remember, the murder rate is 56%. Now, murder rate isn't necessarily the correct benchmark for assessing whether black Londoners are over-policed, but it is certainly more appropriate than population aged 11 to 61, because you would imagine if somebody was accused of murder, then they would be more likely, the police would be more likely to have to use the use of force in order to arrest them. He says, which would you say is a better benchmark for assessing whether men are over-policed? The fact that they comprise half the population, or the fact that they comprise 96% of those proceeded against for murder offences? If Casey wants to insist that population is the right benchmark, she has to accept that male Londoners then are massively over-policed. And it's a really good point that he is making there, I think. And it's one I've made a lot of times. It's one Jared Taylor makes as well, that we don't seem to think that the fact that men are most responsible for crimes is because we are anti-men. But we do assume that if there is a higher percentage of black people that are arrested for these crimes, then it must be down to racism. It's an inconsistency in the way that we talk about these things. The Casey Review does not provide convincing evidence that black Londoners are over-policed, and this matters, because when the police come under pressure not to appear racist, ordinary people suffer from the lack of enforcement. Good point there. It's the higher number of black victims. They're the ones that are going to suffer, because the police will be doing less searches when they would find knives. The police will be going into areas known for crime less, because they know that they will then be accused of racism, because they want to try and get these numbers down. And what it will lead to is more black victims, sadly. Well, if we take a look at the review itself, because it's quite interesting to have a look at what they say here, they summarise it by saying these issues have been found in our review. One, diversity within the workforce. Mentioned in McPherson, the Met continues to fall far short of being representative of London's black, Asian and ethnic minority men and women throughout the ranks. If recruitment continues on its current trajectory, it will take at least another 40 years to reach an officer cadre which is 46% black, Asian and ethnic minority. And the key issue here is that nothing that the Met has done or is currently planning to do that will change this position in the near future. And that's with all these programs that they put in place, all this advertising, wanting to get black, Asian and ethnic minority people into the police, putting on workshops to help them. And we even heard a month or so back about how we were now getting police officers that were functionally illiterate because of this drive for diversity in the workforce. And they've also said that black, Asian and minority people who have a criminal record can now join the police. And even with doing all of that, they are still having this difficulty in actually retaining black, Asian and ethnic minority officers. Number two, professional standards. How the Met treats its black, Asian and ethnic minority officers and staff has been the subject of several reviews. High-profile discrimination claims in employment tribunals and misconduct investigations against Met officers of colour are indicative of what many regard as a hostile culture. So what are they saying there? Are they saying that these misconduct investigations, they were only started because the officers were racist and they were discriminating against these people? I find that very difficult to believe. I mean, if there has been misconduct, then obviously there's been allegations of misconduct. And if there was misconduct, that will be found to be correct. And if there is no misconduct, that will be found to be correct. So it can't be that it's racism that's causing this. Our interim report on misconduct showed unequivocal evidence of systemic racial bias alongside significant administrative failings. Black officers are 81% more likely to be subject to a misconduct case than white officers. So they automatically assume that it must be racial bias that is causing this. Could it not be it's because they lowered the standards? Could it not be because they are now allowing black and minority ethnic people to join the police with a criminal record? I mean, that would imply that they might be more likely to engage in misconduct once they are police. You might also have an issue here where you've lowered the standards on the entry tests. So you may end up with people with a lower IQ. As we already know, we've got police officers now that are functionally illiterate. Because they are functionally illiterate, that may lead to misconduct. But they ignore all of this and say, oh no, it must be racial bias. Under protection. While the Met are very active in areas of London with higher black and minority ethnic communities, this does not mean that those communities are better protected from crime, and victimisation is in fact higher for certain crimes. But of course, if the police are trying not to arrest so many black people and they're avoiding these areas, they're going to be underprotected in those areas. But if they go into them, then they're going to be accused of over-policing because more of them are going to be arrested than their percentage of the population. And that is leading to higher victimisation in these areas. It's like the police just can't win here, can they? If they go into the areas and arrest more people, they're accused of racism. If they don't go into the areas, they're accused of under-protection and there are more victims in those areas. Number four, over-policing and disproportionate use of powers against certain communities. Most prominently, this includes stop and search, the use of force, intimate or strip searches, and the injury or deaths of black, Asian, and ethnic minority Londoners, including deaths in custody, in the pursuit of a subject, or during an arrest. This is exacerbated by a process for public complaints of racism and discrimination that is frequently criticised. And what we most often see in America, we see that a lot of black folks, when the police try to arrest them, they resist arrest, and that is what leads to these injuries. And they don't bring this up here. They don't say how many of these injuries and deaths were related to resisting arrest. They just assume, again, that it must be racism here. And I don't believe the police are racist. I think they're extremely anti-racist. These issues broadly fall into either the internal culture of the Met, or how the Met treats its own people of colour, or the external face of the Met, or how the Met interacts with different communities in London. The two issues are inextricably linked. On the one hand, how black, Asian, and ethnic minority communities are represented at all levels of the Met workforce impacts how the Met understands, engages with, and makes decisions affecting different communities. Common sense. If there were black police officers policing the black community, things would be a lot better, is effectively what they are saying there. And of course, that's what we say as nationalists. You're always going to be better off with people of your own community. But because we have this diversity, because we have multiculturalism, it means that the black community ends up being policed by white police officers. And there's always this fear that discrimination played a role. Whereas if it had just been black police officers, they couldn't say, well, these black police officers are racist. I mean, they have tried that recently. They've tried that in America, saying that the police force is institutionally racist. So even when you have black police officers working for it, there can be somebody can die at their hands, and they will blame racism for that. And of course, the problem there is that the whole idea of policing was developed by white people for white people. It wasn't a system of law and policing that black people had developed, and black people might well have developed a completely different system of keeping law and order. But because they live in multicultural countries, they're forced to try to fit within the system that white people developed for white people. And I would say it's quite obvious it's not going to serve them as well as it does for white people. And this is the accusation that they make. They say, well, more of us get arrested. Four or five times as many of us get arrested as our percentage of the population by the police system. Therefore, the police system is anti-black. They're effectively saying it doesn't work for us. But why would you expect it to work for them when it wasn't developed by them? And again, this is a problem that is down to multiculturalism more than anything else. On the other hand, how the Met treats its officers and staff of colour impacts on how different communities view and interact with the organisation, as well as informing decisions such as whether they want to join the police. The review has looked at these issues together to assess their cumulative and interrelated impact on culture and standards. So they're effectively saying there, if you have more black police officers that are higher up in the organisation, that will encourage black people to want to join the police. Having initiatives designed to attract greater ethnic diversity, including those that have been adopted in line with national standards set by the College of Policing, has been a positive step by the Met. However, rather than acknowledging the importance of these initiatives, a view has been allowed to emerge in some officers, including some of those at a senior level, that standards have been lowered to attract more diverse officers into the force. Well, would you not say that they didn't used to say that you could join the police if you had a criminal record before, but now they've said because black people are more likely to have a criminal record, we need to say that we accept people into the police force who might have a small criminal record. But of course, if you're going to do that, that means the standards have been lowered. So it's not a belief that's not based on reality. It's a belief that is based on what the police force have done. In January 2023, His Majesty's Inspector Matt Parr, who has responsibility for assessing London's policing, repeated this view in an interview with The Telegraph. He said he had seen anecdotal evidence that the Met were recruiting people who were functionally illiterate in English, and that it had lowered standards to make the Met much more representative of the community it serves. The Met misses opportunities such as this to rebut this narrative and defend its black, Asian and ethnic minority recruits. I mean, how can they rebut this? This is the guy that is responsible for assessing London's policing. This is what he is telling us. We have functionally illiterate police because of this drive for inclusion and diversity. And yet this report says that the Met should be rebutting this narrative. It says this has translated into a myth that is repeated in the organisation. Well, it's not a myth, is it? It's a fact. And this is the guy that told us this is the one responsible for assessing London's policing. So it's not a myth. This lowering of standards has translated into a myth that is repeated in the organisation, so much so that officers at different ranks in the organisation felt comfortable repeating it in the company of their colleagues who are from a black, Asian and ethnic minority background, officers and members of the review team. It's a fact that you know, they have to talk about these things. It can't be hampered by political correctness. Standards are being lowered. Which is going to be at the expense of the community that is being policed in order to make the police more representative of the community that it's policing. I mean, what's more important? You see yourself reflected there in the police, or you have less victims of crime. I mean, I would have thought having less victims of crime would be the more important aspect of this. And it talks about progression. The lack of diversity of the workforce and shortcomings in recruitment is also reflected further in progression rates through the organisation. The higher the rank within the Met, the less representation from black, Asian and ethnic minority groups there is. Superintendents, chief inspectors and inspectors are the least diverse ranks. Between 7 and 10% are black, Asian or from other ethnic minorities, compared with 17% of constables, and there are some exceptions. The proportion of black, Asian and ethnic minority chief superintendents has grown from 4% to 12% over the last decade. In real terms, however, this actually represented a cut of 35 black, Asian and ethnic minority chief superintendents due to an overall reduction in the number of chief superintendents in the Met. So they're saying the higher up you go, the less black people you're going to find. And that would be predicted by the average IQ, because there just aren't enough high IQ black people around to have them as superintendents, and also have them as doctors, and also have them as lawyers. And don't forget, if you have the high IQ African heritage people in Britain, it means they're not in Africa doing things for the Africans. It means that they're here. You get this brain drain that comes from these other countries. But the lower average IQ would predict that you would actually have less of them in these important roles in the police, and that's what we find. But of course they're saying it can't be down to that, it has to be down to racism. In 2021-22, black, Asian and ethnic minority women made up less than 2% of superintendents and 3% of inspectors. As of 31st of December 22, there are no female black, Asian or ethnic minority chief superintendents in the Met. Well, perhaps they don't want to join the police. I mean, there is that aspect to it as well. I should imagine there really aren't very many Muslim wives that want to join the police. You have these cultural differences there. I don't think it's because the police are Islamophobic or racist. Our qualitative engagement made it clear that officers of colour are very aware of this situation. The explanations we had for this disparity were varied, but included limited help or support for black, Asian and ethnic minority officers to progress, stigmatisation of those officers who do take advantage of specific support initiatives, an assumption that all senior black, Asian and ethnic minority officers have benefited from positive action initiatives. A senior officer recalled being openly asked in a large meeting of officers in 2022, did you get to where you got to because you are black? If we didn't have these diversity quotas, and if we just had people getting by on merit, you would not be able to ask that question. But then if you just got by on merit, then you would have less black people in these positions because of this lower IQ. Both retired and serving officers of colour reported a pattern of applying for promotion, not getting it, and being told that they didn't have sufficient experience. It took me 11 years to get promoted from inspector to chief inspector, despite putting in countless applications to get promoted. I was always told that I needed more experience in a specific area. And I guess what they're saying there is you don't have the qualifications. You're not good enough to actually make it to this position. And of course, because everybody's been told, oh, we're all the same, then they look at that and they say, well, it must be discrimination. It must be racism, because surely I'm going to be just as good as all these other people because we're all the same. Of course, we're not all the same. And then finally, we have attrition. The review heard from numerous people of colour who said they had had enough and would be leaving at the first opportunity. And I would say that's because it's more difficult than they thought it was going to be, not because their other police officers are discriminating against them or calling them racist names. It's because they're finding it more difficult, because instead of having to be able to read and write, they've just been given this job, and then they discovered that actually you have to be able to be functionally literate. I mean, that's just one instance. You've got some people like that, obviously not all of them. Data shows that the proportion of new recruits resigning during their probationary period is relatively low, though it has increased slightly in recent years to 10%. However, Black, Asian and ethnic minority probationer officers are resigning at more than double the rate of probationers as a whole. They accounted for 22% of all probationer resignations in 21 to 22. So when they've got help there, alongside them, when they're going through the probationary period, they're okay. But then when they finish and they have to do this on their own, they're having difficulties with the job. The interim report on the Met's internal misconduct system noted that Regulation 13 of the 2003 Police Regulations, whereby a notice is served on an officer thought to be unsuitable for policing, is often a primary route for probationers to leave. So it's not racism. They're being told they're unsuitable for policing. They've been assessed and it's been found that they're going to have difficulties for the job, which of course is what you're going to get when you allow people in, A, with criminal records, and B, who don't know how to read and write. They're going to have difficulties with doing the job. So they're being told that they're unsuitable for policing. This results in more of them leaving the job. And of course, this report implies that the reason why they're leaving the job is because the police are institutionally racist. Although the dismissal rate for Regulation 13 cases is very low, many probationers served with a Regulation 13 notice will unsurprisingly end up resigning. And Regulation 13 notices are disproportionately served on Black, Asian and ethnic minority probationers, and they are disproportionately resigning. So there's more of them that are resigning, but is there also more of them that have difficulties with reading and writing? More of them that have a criminal record? More of them that have a lower average IQ? These are the reasons why they're resigning, not because their fellow white officers are discriminating against them and are being racist against them. You know, multiculturalism just leads to all these problems. We tell everybody that they're all equal. And then what you end up with Black people thinking, well, the white people must be discriminating against me because we're all equal and yet I don't have the same life outcomes. And the white people then look at the Blacks and they say, well, because we're all equal, that means he must be lazy or he must be deliberately carrying out these crimes. He's deliberately being this way. And it makes white people resent Black people because we're told we're all the same. The fact is we're different. So if you are different, you're going to have, and you can see that there is a different IQ, there is a different rate of crime, there's a different way of looking at things, you're going to be more sympathetic about people, aren't you? And you're not going to resent them for not working as hard. And if you're Black, you're not going to resent the white people and think they're discriminating against you. But the real way to solve all of this is just to do away with multiculturalism, have Black people policed by Black police and let them have their own areas, their own parts of the country, and let white people live in other parts of the country, and then have multicultural areas, which would be the cities, and try to have proportionate policing where in the Black part of the city, it was Black police, Chinese part of the city, it was Chinese police, and the rest of it. And that seems to me that, you know, that would please all groups, wouldn't it? You know, that would benefit all groups to have policing and the where we live, to have it based on those guidelines. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.